run over by a reindeer.
Walking home from my This is a true story, you know. It is. I covered the accident. It was awful. You know, I couldn't find her identification, and then some guy came out of the house in a Porsche with a shotgun. That's my grandma. She got ran over by the reindeer.
The reindeer didn't have snow tires.
So
that's
why. He put the bottle of Jack Daniels down. He gave me his license, and proved that it was his grandmother that got run over a reindeer. And I took the report and gave him the case number, and the lawsuit is still pending. I just can't figure out what jurisdiction is. Grandma run over by a reindeer driving a Silverado stolen by a former cop out of Massachusetts, by the way. Anyway, you like that for a rant? Yeah. No angry radios. No, it's too close to Christmas. And we've been so mopey this morning, but I do want to really offer a special thanks to my colleague and good friend, Dr. Dionne Tangway, who comes from a remarkable family of Tangways,
correct,
whom I had the opportunity to work with when I was a police officer, Bubba.
Yes.
And Don,
yep,
outstanding family. Mm-hmm. Please give them my best. And I wish we had more time, because I'm absolutely intrigued. And I sit right next to you at work about, you know, the mastery of technology that's needed by, as an asset only, as you mentioned,
right,
to education and the future of education. So,
right.
And Dr. Daniel, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to come in. I'm sorry it was kind of abbreviated.
No problem.
We have a lot to talk about, but... warm welcome, warm Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank
Daniel,
you, Jeff.
As we roll over to talk about broken down vehicles and what not to do with John Manelis of Auto Care Plus here on Girard at Large.
Yeah, pleasure meeting you, Dan.
Oh, great to meet you both. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Daniel. Outstanding. See what kind of capital we have here in this great city of Manchester?
Yes.
New Hampshire. We really do. People, you know, just quietly going about their business, changing lives like Dr. Daniel Tangway. And I mean that. I mean, he's got a very difficult job trying to turn people into teachers, which is one of the hardest professions on the planet. It seems like it's getting harder. I don't know. But it's a great profession. It's noble, right, and honorable, and you change lives. How many people can say that?
Right. And it's, you know, that's all we try to do. We try to make it better for the future. So I appreciate it, Jeff, and I appreciate you having me. And
that's awesome.
I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas as well.
Why, thank you, my friend. And now we go live on the telephone with John Manelis. John, come in.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Morning, John.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Jeff. How's everybody?
We are doing pretty well here for a couple of mopey guys. You know, here when...
Yeah, John, I have to ask you, how did you like your Christmas bumper? We felt like that was the perfect one for you. The grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Oh, I see the car.
Like car reference.
Yeah, car reference.
In a four-legged way.
Do you guys fix reindeer sleighs?
We can fix everything.
Yes, you can. You know, you see Santa Claus coming. Yeah, I think the transmission is gone. I ran over some old lady over there. So, what's on the docket today for automobiles and trucks, etc., John?
Oh, I was just actually, I get most of my ideas from my customers and or my children. And today, my children, yesterday, my college-age children are coming home for the break, and they brought their friends. And so conversation always turns to something about their car. And this, you know, of course, we had our first couple of snowfalls this year. Mm-hmm. So, of course, if you were out there during that, you quickly found out that, as everybody says every year, they said, how to drive in the snow. And I would counter that with, I don't think they've ever learned how to drive in the snow. So it's just a matter of who's on the road at the time it's snowing and how delayed you will be. So... my whole topic was going to be about driving in the snow and on the ice and winter driving tips and how to, you know, as much as I can explain, give some tips, you know, in words, even though it's going to take experience ultimately in practice, like, you know, to get good at this. But I just wanted to go over some tips that I see after talking with my daughters.
That would be great because I'm hoping the guy that rear-ended me in front of the mall the other day is listening.
Yeah, well, that'd be the first topic is how do you stop in a straight line when you're on slippery ice and snow? And I mean, obviously, what I've preached on this show at this time of year all the time is snow tires. So first and foremost, the only thing between you and the road is those tires. And if they're not 6/32 of an inch thick in the traction or more, then you might as well not have any tires for traction. So
right.
So So snow tires, and when I say snow tires, I say four snow tires, which don't bother. If you're going to only put two on, you're better off with four all season.
Correct.
And in the end, you just need four snow tires because there's no compromising it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go over that again because I've gone over it enough times this year already.
I would imagine. I can only imagine. It's a big expense, these tires nowadays.
It is a big expense, but, you know, dying is probably more expensive.
Well, I never thought of it that way. Yes. So John, I want to be clear about this because, you know, you talked me into snow tires a few years ago. Do they make any sort of a difference when it comes to ice? I didn't think it mattered.
Absolutely they do. I mean, the snow tires are designed to drive below 45 degree weather on snow and ice. You're going to have more grip with, you know, with any comparable all season or summer tire for sure. So,
but ice is ice. Right, that's
exactly. It's not going to fix physics. You're not going to fix physics if you're driving 80 miles an hour and expect to stop. Snow tires are not going to save your life. So,
it doesn't matter what you're driving, right, John? Because you have the people out there with their SUVs that have this false sense of ability.
Yeah,
this guy, the
all-wheel drive person. Yeah, they think they're infallible, but again, it's not a miracle system. It does what it's supposed to do, all-wheel drive, is provide forward traction. Again, it's going to keep you moving in deep snow. It's going to allow you to climb a steep driveway, you know, but it's going to prevent fishtailing and understeer and oversteer, which, again, I'm going to talk about a little bit today. And if you get into those conditions, how you get out of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good idea.
But again, how it's not going to, make you... stop any better.
No, it's not. It's about vehicle management. And I go back to my days when I was for many years, I taught advanced defensive driving at the academy, and it's about vehicle management. It's about proper hand placement on the wheel. It's about proper braking and slowing down management, decreasing speed without slam. You know, people have their natural tendency slam on the brake, et cetera, that type of thing. And it really, what I taught and what I had learned to teach saved my bucket a few times by steering out of an accident. So if somebody is slipping and sliding, John, now their vehicle, their wonderful $35,000 Mercedes, actually, no, let's call it $65,000 Mercedes, is now in free flight. What can they do?
So before you even get into that situation, I always, give yourself some distance and, to stop. And when you're going down the road and you know it's snowing and the temperature might be changing drastically up and down, you may have to test the road conditions a few different times in a few different areas.
Right,
so
they do change.
I always say, if you know you're coming to a stop up ahead somewhere, you need to take a turn. Start to tap the brakes and feel what kind of traction you have in the current road conditions. And so if you start to slip right away, then you know you need to slow it down right now. And, but the other thing is when you do come to that stop, today's vehicles all have ABS. And if you don't have ABS on your vehicle right now, then you're driving a classic. So I would say most vehicles have ABS. So if you are coming to a stop and you have to stop and you don't have all this extra distance, the best thing you can do is to put firm pressure on the brake, meaning full brake, and let the ABS computer take over, and it'll stop you the quickest way.
Now, can you actually compromise the computer by slamming on the brake too hard? I heard that years ago, but I may be wrong.
No.
Okay.
That's when the computer knows that you are in panic stop mode. So that's when it's going to go in full, ABS mode, if you will. What hurts is actually going, if you're an older driver like us and you grew up without ABS, you were taught to pump the brakes.
I had to put my feet through the floorboards. That's how I did it.
Yeah. That confuses the computer. So
me and
you
my
don't
friend
want to
Barney
do that
Rose.
On an ABS.
It does. No, I digress.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
No.
Because a major change in brake style.
Exactly.
It's a huge change for us old people.
And people, think that they can do a better job than a computer. And some of the earlier ABS modules back in the late 80s when they first came out, they were a little primitive and they were only on the rear wheels. And, it wasn't as good as, or nearly as good as it is today.
Oh,
and they pretty much perfected it at this point.
Isn't that something, huh? Wow, they come a long way. But, here's the thing, John. I was listening to the radio yesterday in the morning and catching the traffic.
report, and it seems like as every minute passed by, you know, you hear the latest, you know, accident on the Everett Turnpike. Another guy went into the ditch. Another person went into the ditch. So even all these great assets, panic. People are still going off into ditches.
And it's because nobody's actually taken a driving class or gone to, you know, learn how to drive. And that's why I say, I take my kids out and I say, listen, we're going to go out into a private parking lot. Maybe the mall parking lot if you don't want the police to actually think you're doing crazy things.
Yeah,
you get a ticket. You might want to try a private parking lot. But, you know, in practice, the steering conditions, because that's the biggest thing. If people, as soon as first of all, when you're in an understeer condition or an oversteer condition, you have to realize that you're in it. And and then once you recognize what condition you're in, typically you have to react to that. And what people typically do is panic, naturally.
Right.
So if you're driving, say you're driving straight and you want to turn to the right and you start to turn and then you're stepping on the brakes and all of a sudden you're going straight instead of turning to the right, that is, you know, the natural reaction for an inexperienced driver is to push on the brakes harder and turn the wheel more to the right. And then, you know, now you've got the front wheels overloaded and you're into this, you know, slide straight ahead and you're going to hit the wall or hit the car in front of you or hit whatever it is that you were trying to turn away from.
Hit me.
Hey, John.
Yeah. So,
hey,
what you want to do.
I'm sorry, I finished your thought.
Go ahead.
I thought you were done.
No, well, I was going to say what you want to do in this situation is, you know, is counterintuitive to what you think. Is you want to put less steering input in if you want. And so you want to basically start to turn into the direction of your skid and then let off of the. First thing you want to do is let off the gas. I mean, that's. And by the way, I said throttle yesterday when I was talking to my college age friend. I got his friends, and they didn't know what throttle was, so I realized I'm too technical.
Mr. Manelis, you know what I'm talking about, man. You know, we're college. You know what's going on. Yeah, old guys. Driving a Beamer, jerk.
So, John, I remember learning in driving school under the great Joe Sullivan used to teach.
Joe Sullivan, no.
Joe from West High School.
Right.
Now deceased, God rest his soul. One of my favorite teachers too. Writing class with Joe. But anyway, I remember him teaching me in driving school about minimum safe distance. Right, the 3 second rule, or the five.
Yeah.
And I've always practiced that, and I'm always amazed at how many other drivers do not, especially when conditions are
especially not in the snow.
Yes.
Think.
So one of my pet peeves when I'm around driving and witnessing bad driving skills by others is people that ride my bumper. I drive an SUV, and a lot of times I cannot see the headlights of the people behind me because they're so close to me.
So close.
What do you recommend? And, you know, I've always been told tap your brakes, blah, blah, blah. Well, that just makes them angry a lot of times when you try to practice that. What do you recommend for guys like me to, temper my road rage about people that are riding too close to you?
A 50-caliber machine gun.
You're just like me, Dave, because I have to actually take a deep breath or 10 and then think about it. And then, you know, honestly, the same person will just, you know, I would just pull over and to the right and let them pass you because
they're never going to
get off. No matter what you do,
but I've been told
you can stop the road rage, you can stop slamming on your brakes and hoping that they get the message, but that's just going to make them more angry.
Nah. But I've been told that pulling over,
you're not going to win that battle.
No,
pulling over isn't the safest thing to do always either, depending on where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because I mean, obviously, you have to be aware of your conditions. I mean, if you just can't pull into it, you know, where there's no shoulder on the road. Maybe you wait till the next turn and you can't take the right and, you know, aggravate yourself even more because now you've got to get back onto the main road. But,
from the
in the end, you're probably going to be better off.
Right. Well, John, we're coming up.
I can't help you there.
No, we can't. You know, you can't fix stupid. That's what's going on. You know, when people drive like nuts because they're going someplace where they're not going to get ahead of you no matter what they do. So, John, Merry Christmas again to you and your family, and really,
yeah, Merry Christmas
and day, and best of luck to you in weathering the onslaught of college people who are going to tell you exactly what to do for the next 5 days.
It'll be interesting at the dinner table.
It will be.
Weekend.
Yeah, I drink heavily, my friend. No, just kidding. Merry Christmas to you and your family, John. Thank you, as always, for the astute advice and counsel on how to drive your motor vehicle in garbage weather. Going to break.